Corn Man with a K, 72. Repping hard.
This is Corn Man Gaming. Thanks for joining me.
Corn Man 72. I don't know what your intro music could be.
They were singing Spoon Man, but it was Corn Man. Corn Man.
Singing it about you.
I don't know.
Why were they doing that?
I don't know if it was me, because there's literally a man in the game who is made of corn.
Wow.
But they kept saying it when my name was on screen.
Maybe it was just a little bit of both.
I think so.
All right. We're getting into day two.
We're done with day two.
Yeah, we're getting into it, talking about it.
Day right two now. Is over.
We're going to talk about it while we're fresh. While we have time, while we don't have a... What? Problem occurring? Like we did yesterday with our podcast?
Yeah, we're going to watch the recording.
Yeah, make sure this one doesn't crap out on us. This was a little bit better day, I think. For me personally, I know yesterday, I'm still super convinced that, like, when I don't have an appointment, I am not, like, having a lot to look at on the floor.
Yeah. You know? No, I agree.
There's really not much. You know what I did see, though? Have you walked by those domes in the South Hall? They're shooting those,
It's like a projection dome or something.
Hmm? That's fucking awesome. Go lay down in one of those while they put on that video. And it's just like fucking coming at you. It's cool. I actually started off my day at Alienware looking at their new... I mean, these pitches from the hardware companies are straight up like... It's not like a video game thing. It's like, this is the hardware specs. This is... we've already announced this thing. We just want you to write about it.
Yeah. Please, get someone to buy our Alienware PCs.
Yeah, but I mean, like, yeah, we should stop doing that. Like everybody else, they're trying to get ready for the virtual reality. They want to be a part of that. They want to sell their PCs to people. You know, the people who want to upgrade for Oculus.
Yep.
So they've kind of got their Oculus ready version of some of the Alienware, and Alienware's popular gaming PCs. $1099 gets you something with a 1070 in it.
That's not bad.
I think an i5 processor.
Sure, that sounds pretty good.
Some cores.
Alienware used to kind of overcharge. I don't know if they do anymore.
$1099 sounds pretty good for that.
That sounds pretty reasonable.
But sounds like half of it's about a graphics card.
Yeah. That's almost any PC.
Well, I mean, they had a lot of cool stuff, actually, that I was like, ooh, I wouldn't mind having that. They had a new gaming laptop with an OLED screen.
Ooh. I have an OLED TV, and it's fucking great.
Do you game on it?
I do. And it looks really
great. Those are brand new.
Yeah?
You just went out and bought that? I was thinking about getting it. A new TV. I just bought a TV for Black Friday.
The one I have is one model old, so...
Was it fairly expensive?
It was pretty fucking expensive.
It was like $4,000, right?
No. It was $2,500. It was $2,500, which the price dropped a lot. It's LG. LG OLED.
I don't like LG.
They're the only ones making OLED TVs.
I know, that's why I didn't buy it.
It's gorgeous. You should.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Not a fan of the LG. Their quality, I have been... I just don't like them. I like Sony televisions.
Sony TVs.
I like Samsung TVs.
I like Samsung TVs. Yeah, that's what I had before the LG.
But yeah, I have an Ultra.
I have to have HD. OLED now. I'm addicted. It is done. If I can get an OLED monitor, that's my next purchase. So they were showing those? That was a laptop.
That was a laptop. Mm. Yeah. I don't even know. Did I intro us? We are Attack of the Fanboy podcast. I'm William. With me is Kyle. We're talking about E3 and TVs.
This is what E3 does to you.
Yeah, we're just kind of zoning out and trying to get all our thoughts out. Yeah, it wasn't a bad day. It was a good day for me and you. We both saw a lot of stuff. I played a lot of games that were fun. I had a good time with. Mm-hmm. But that was my first appointment for the day. It was with Alienware. I also saw Astro's new headset hardware, the A50s.
Astro makes a good headset.
Astro makes a damn good headset.
Like, I don't know what they improve, though. Like, they make such what a good headset. Improve, it's like, what do you do from model to model?
Well, the A50 is the console gamer's headset from Astro. If you're a PC gamer, you're usually going to get, like, the wired-in A40s.
I went for a Logitech myself.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I probably should have went for an Astro.
Astros are good. The A50 is a great, like, if you play on consoles and you play on PC, depending on which console you play on most, you'll want to get either the Xbox version or PlayStation version.
They're version specific? You can't.
They are version specific because, okay, so here's the thing with Astro. This has been like a soap opera for fans of Astro who want the A50 wireless experience. They have not been able to clear the wireless chat hurdle ever on Xbox for Astro. So they've always had a line in. Like, even though the A50, in my opinion, has been the best headset for consoles over probably the last 4 years since it launched, you've had to use a wire between the headset and the controller. Mm. So to have them fix that and kind of finally get Microsoft's proprietary technology in their headset so they can do wireless without a puck or without anything like that, is like great. It'll be the first time that we'll ever have that. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Did you see Turtle Beach?
But the other side is Bluetooth. I'm seeing Turtle Beach tomorrow. But the other side is PlayStation and Bluetooth. I said, well, why can't you guys do them where it's an all-in-one? They said, because we've got to make Microsoft and PlayStation happy. Microsoft and Sony happy. They've got to have their own versions. They don't want one that fits all, which is shitty.
That is, like, what does that benefit Sony and Microsoft?
It doesn't. I said, is it a money thing? Like, you can't afford to put Bluetooth and this other proprietary technology in the headset? He's like, no. He said, they just don't play nice together. They don't want their, like, my interpretation of what they were saying to me was Microsoft doesn't want Bluetooth in the headset. They won't give us the go-ahead to use their wireless technology if we also make it Bluetooth.
That really sucks.
Yeah, Microsoft's fucking shitty in that department. They have been for a long time. That proprietary shit is garbage. If they would just go with Bluetooth, everyone would be able to just buy a headset and be fucking happy, but they don't.
I thought they were beyond exclusives now.
I know.
Microsoft.
They gotta make their money somewhere.
Yeah. With Xbox.
Apparently it's on headset licensing. But yeah, those guys are super cool. Astro is always good people. They make good products. I really love the sound quality of their headsets. It's top notch. And to finally get the wireless chat on Xbox will be nice. Anyway.
What else do you see?
I had a couple of more businessy sort of appointments.
You went to Cuphead really, again, you said.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about that too much, but I also, I did, in my free time, I spent it at the Microsoft and Sony booths today.
In that madhouse?
Yeah.
How was that?
It wasn't bad. Like, it was butts to nuts.
Yeah.
In some of those games. I mean, it was, like, just packed in there.
Yeah.
For, like, Ghost Recon Wildlands,
Oh, you played it at Microsoft?
Yeah.
I thought you played it at Ubisoft.
No.
Okay.
It was a pretty long demo. They had two Ubisoft employees to walk you through. You were in a group of like four ghosts. And they kind of give you a really good sampling of what that game is going to play like. Going from objective to objective, being able to take things in like an open world sandbox sort of style. It's definitely different than anything we've seen from Ghost Recon before. It plays like a Ghost Recon game, though. There was a lot of bugs in it. It was early alpha. They made sure that we knew that. I saw a lot of crazy shit going on. Like, my guy would die because I went into something that you weren't able to go into. I saw a guy fly through the game world. I saw, you know, just all kinds of little bugs like that. One guy had a comical, like, he was hanging out, half hanging out of the car, shooting, but his whole body looked like he was kind of, I mean, it was just weird. There was a lot of bugs. And in such an unpolished state, I'm wondering why they would even put that out there. You know,
yeah.
I guess just to give people an idea and like, hey, this is real. We announced it last year.
So I Googled it to see when it was coming out.
It's coming next year
in March.
Yeah.
And like a lot of the top news things are like Ghost Recon Wildlands is underwhelming. The potential of Ghost Recon Wildlands from E3. Like it seems like there's some more emergency stuff going on. It seems like the general reaction is mixed at best.
I think like it is that modern military shooter in the third person,
and it's an open world game, which Ubisoft is just pumping
there
out.
Seem like some cool stuff in there though, as far as the open world nature of it and tackling all the drug cartels in that open world, different difficulty levels, different types of bosses. And they had little videos about, you know, one guy was the stew maker. He like burns his body's in sulfuric acid or something, and you're going after this guy. I mean, it was pretty gritty. But again, it was the modern military shooter. Who knows? Are people getting tired of that? It's,
yes.
It's hard to tell.
The answer is yes.
You are, Kyle. I mean, there are still people that like that. I would say playing that game by yourself is one of those things that's probably going to suck. Playing that with three friends might be some fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't think it was horrible. Cuphead. I went back and played that again.
It was a game so nice you played it twice.
So nice I did play it twice, and I kept playing it while I was there. I was like, no, get back. Get the fuck off of me, dude.
You have to play other games.
Get the fuck away from me. I'm trying to beat this thing. You know, I didn't realize it was kind of set up like Super Mario, or at least for like the demo where you're going from like plot to plot on an overmap.
Mm.
They had little boss battles in there, platforming levels is what I saw. Game's hard. Definitely, I did make it through one level this time, though, so that was a plus, and we beat a boss.
Nice.
So that looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to that. I still don't know when it's coming out, but I love the aesthetic of that. I love the look, the way it plays. It's very tight. And then after that, I moved on to We Happy Few.
Yep, which is it's a favorite of mine. I've played it twice.
Yeah.
At conventions, and it has changed a lot. Like if you played it a year ago, it is ridiculously different now than what it was, and it was already pretty good. It's got some really cool stuff in there.
Yeah,
it seems like something you would enjoy.
It does. For a lot of these games, it's the complex games, especially when you're trying to get the feel for them on a show floor.
Yeah,
It doesn't demo well. Your feet hurt. You're standing there going, "God damn, this is a 25-minute demo. I've been already standing here for 20 minutes waiting to play it." It's hot. I can hear everybody talking behind me. I can, you know, hear the thumping bass of something in the background. It just doesn't, a lot of games don't demo well.
The sections of the game are very different as well. Like, were you in the broken down city? Is that where you were?
I was in, I guess it was the
was it a,
you remember from the trailer at the Microsoft conference where he's like doing the fixing of the newspapers, taking out the information.
Yeah, you were actually playing that section?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're doing that, and then it's like, should I take my joy or not? Mm-hmm. And then you can decide to take it, and then the game just starts over. Or you can decide not to take it, and you go through that sequence, which you saw in the trailer, where you go in there, beat the rat or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a dog or a rat. But you beat the animal, and then you kind of are thrust kind of run away, mm-hmm. and you're thrust into this quest area, yeah. which seemed kind of like open world.
It is.
And yeah. you're like, it's also a survival game where you mm-hmm. need to sleep, you need to eat, you need to fix yourself, heal yourself, craft things. It seems like a game that wears many hats.
It does. And it's, I mean, it's procedurally generated maps.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that yeah. either. It's interesting. Yep. What is, I don't understand how that would, why?
I guess just so you can replay it.
Hmm.
I don't know. That's just the way they went with it. And it
yeah, I mean, I didn't get very far. I died, and I wasn't sure how to get back to an area where I could cure myself. I guess I needed to, like, make bandages or something.
There, yeah, there's a lot of crafting to it. I played it at PAX, and I had, like, a guy over my shoulder telling me what to do, and I yeah. still was just like, wait, so I've got to go over here and get this, and go over here and sneak into this guy's house to get this, so I can do this. I'm like,
but it's like, this is great. If you don't do that, game. You die, and that's it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And that's so just like a newspaper comes up that says this guy is dead.
I think so, and then you just start fresh.
That's fucking crazy. Okay, I mean, that's kind of cool.
But I think though. It has some sort of quest or campaign to it.
There was. I mean, it looked like there was a progression system, like get across this bridge. Get a power supply and yep. get across a bridge.
Yep.
And I was looking for it, but I think I killed the guy that I was supposed to get it from, and then I couldn't get it, and then I was critically wounded from the fight, and then I couldn't figure out a way to heal myself. I found water, and I found some food and all that stuff, and I got food poisoning. It's all, it draws from, like, Don't Starve, like, stuff like that, right?
Yeah. It draws from a lot of stuff. Yeah. BioShock is.
I mean, that's what people have been comparing it to in terms of like
the visuals and the atmosphere.
The visuals, the atmosphere, the kind of creepiness of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people have been drawing comparisons to BioShock. I don't know if they've earned it. I don't know if they've earned it yet we'll to be compared out. To I mean, one it, of the best games ever made.
It's a big unknown. It's a very good looking game, but it is a big unknown because it doesn't demo well. You really need.
You need someone explaining it to you. You need a developer next to you, kind of.
Even with that, it's pretty rough.
Because if it is a survival game, there's going to be some trial and error to it. You're not yeah. just going to win. You're going to need to like learn. Like you're going to run across things that are just going to stump you. Like, oh wait, how did I needed to do this. So I didn't have any bandages, or I needed to craft this, that, or the other. Those kind of games always do take some time to learn how to play. But on the show floor, with people breathing down your neck, like I said. Butts to nuts. Motherfuckers are just tired of waiting. They're looking at you. The pressure's on you.
Please die so I can play.
I want to get... yeah. But the original... I mean, the initial part of that was kind of, you know, more linear.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. There, I think looks those like sections are sprinkled in through the randomly generated sections or something to that effect. It's an interesting game. It's a very complex game.
Also played both the driving games, the big driving games for Sony and Microsoft. I played Forza Horizon 3, kind of.
Is it Forza?
Like Forza Horizon 3 should
yeah.
feel.
Yeah.
I played Gran Turismo in a car with a Thrustmaster steering wheel. That was pretty cool. It was more simulation oriented when you compare to Forza Horizon, especially. Both games are going to please their respective audiences. I think it's high time Sony gets a good driving game on their system, and yeah. I don't doubt that GT will be, you know, the polished thing that Sony fans want. It looks great. I'm sure. Hopefully it's better than Drive Club. I also played a game called Bound. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
It's a very weird platforming kind of adventure game where the character is like dancing through the world. It's like a ballet dancer, really, and she's like spinning, and the way she interacts with walls and things like that is very graceful.
Hmm. Is this in the indie section?
It's all over. I think there's a few different spots on the Sony booth that they had it.
Oh, okay.
They also had it up in the Sony like hospitality lounge. What I didn't see on the show floor was a Vita.
No, Vita's gone.
Vitas are no longer something.
Yeah.
They have.
If they haven't officially discontinued.
Take that, you fucking Vita boy motherfuckers.
They haven't officially discontinued.
I hope you're listening to that.
On the way out.
Listen to that. You put us on blast on your YouTube channel. No Vita's here. At E3.
They didn't even say the word Vita.
Didn't say the word. They're not on the show floor.
Yeah.
They're not going to be in stores soon.
Sure.
I'm glad I got that off my chest. Offense, buddy. VitaBoys.com or .net, whatever the fuck your website is, and your YouTube channel. Go fuck yourself. How about that? What'd you do to make that? No, I'm not good. I'm still pissed about that. I just thought about that off the top of my head.
I had a packed day. I was going from one appointment to the other. Starting with Dawn of War 3.
Let's say that a little slower. Dawn of War.
Of War.
Okay, 3. I keep thinking you say God of War.
No, not God of War.
Dawn of War.
Which stars Kratos. Dawn of War 3.
For the most. All right, let's get there.
It's the new Warhammer 40K.
Let's take this motherfucker off the rails. Let's go off roading for a little while. Go back to Kratos and his like ridiculous inclusion in the new God of War game. Pipe down over there.
You're not in this podcast. You're working.
Back to work.
So, anyway, Dawn of War 3 is a new Warhammer 40K real-time strategy game. The last one of these, Dawn of War 2... came out like 7 years ago, something like that.
Dawn of War. This thing doesn't ring a bell to me.
Yeah, it didn't ring a bell for me either. And then I saw it on the front page of Reddit, and I'm like, people are really excited about this game. And then I sat down and I watched a 30-minute presentation, and now I see why they were excited, because it looks really, really good. You know, it's very StarCrafty, and that may be. Somebody may freak out at me for saying that. I don't know, but it was, you know. And but there's more to it. It's in the Warhammer series. There's giant, you know. There's space marines that are like 7 feet tall, and then there's things that are 10 times taller than them. There was a mech suit that they said is like 14 meters tall, and it just walks around just destroying enemies.
Online multiplayer game?
I would assume it's got an online multiplayer. We were just seeing the campaign. Which it's got the orcs, I believe. Am I correct in that? Person that's not on the podcast? Orcs?
They're going to have orcs, Eldar, and Space Marines.
Orcs, Eldar, and Space Marines as the three factions. And, you know, you progress through the campaign. You play each side and all that sort of stuff.
It's PC only?
Yeah. It's a full-blown RTS. So I was very impressed with it. It's very bloody and gory. As Warhammer should be, very violent, and like there was really cool. They're using cover, which was a thing. The two games that have already come out, I did a lot of research on this, were very different. First one was kind of a big battle RTS. Second one was more of like a hero, where you have, you know, one main hero. They jammed those together, took the best of both, and along with that came like a cover system and all this sort of stuff. So. There's a lot to this game. I don't want to just dive into the whole mechanics, but it looks really, really good, even for someone who's not like a Warhammer person.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan of the real-time strategy games, but I really kind of stay close to home when it's for me, it's StarCraft or bust. It's kind of the...
You may find that this would...
Top of the heap.
Would draw you away a little bit. I don't know. You should check it out. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'll say is check it out. But we went from there to Telltale. Got to see the new Batman game.
How was that?
It was pretty good.
Okay. I forgot you went and saw that today.
Yeah, I did too when we were talking earlier. So this is, you know, their updated engine. It's not brand new. I said new engine, and he quickly was like, yeah, our updated engine.
You mean slightly updated.
And it looks much better. It looks very improved. Mm-hmm. The animations are still pretty stiff.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of stuff. They were very clear that this is early stuff. Could be a problem for Batman.
Animation?
The fighting wasn't actually too bad. I don't know. It was like the stuff where they're like picking stuff up off a table. It just looked stiff. The fighting, I think because they slowed it down, it would go into slow-mo, and you have to hit a button combo and all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
So the fighting looked
good. So is it kind of like the same sort of stuff you would expect from the beat-em-up type games in terms of combos?
No, it wasn't like... finishings
and counters and stuff like that?
No.
Or, no?
No, it's not that intricate. It's still Telltale. It's as intricate as it got was like hold right and press a button instead of just press a button.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's telling Batman's sort of beginnings. They said he's not... He's been Batman for a little while, but you're shaping...
Is this his own, like, is this his own story?
Isn't
the story for Batman pretty much set in stone?
I mean, Batman's been retold, what, 1,000 times? We have the Tim Burton Batman, we have the
Nolan Batman. Yeah, but I think they all kind of come from the same place. Where he got his skills, where...
It's not an origin story.
Okay.
It's he's in Gotham being Batman, but it's like the police... Gordon is still a lieutenant. The police are still scared of him. They don't know if they
were his parents him still killed in an alley.
They were, okay. I'm sure. Okay. They didn't show that.
Okay.
I don't need to see that.
All right.
They did not show it, thank God.
That seems to be
hopefully
a common
it's not threat. A flashback. I'm sure it will be. But
it's
like,
in every Batman.
It is, yeah. Like, Harvey Dent is in there. He's trying to become mayor of Gotham. There's all these, you know... It's the first time he meets Catwoman, is what we saw. It's really cool. Like you,
so it's said, like the last Batman movie.
Batman Begins?
No. Which one
talking about
which
Dark Knight the, Rises?
Yeah.
That was like the... He's like an old Batman at that point. He's like
but
retiring.
Isn't that the one where Harvey Dent is rising to power?
No, that was the middle one.
Oh, that's the Joker one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But...
Right. anyway.
Yeah. It's cool. Like they even said, this is Telltale's Batman. You spend as much time as Bruce Wayne as you do as Batman, because the opener was Batman stopping a robbery that Catwoman was involved in, and then like it cut to a fundraiser for Harvey Dent, and you have to interact with all of these characters, you know, Vicky Vale and all that sort of stuff, and interact as Bruce Wayne, and you shape the story as Telltale always says.
Hmm.
But yeah, it looks good. I'm a Telltale fan, but I've also been pretty critical of their stuff lately.
Yeah, everything outside of The Walking Dead.
Tales from the Borderlands. That was like
oh yeah, you
one
did
of my
love
top
that.
Games. Yeah.
A lot of people did too.
Yeah. We'll see how this turns out. If it's anything like Wolf Among Us, which was their last DC one, that was great as well. So hopefully it lives up to it. But it's looking good so far. It wasn't as improved as I was hoping, but you know, maybe with the more time they've got a little bit, they said it should be out this summer. This first episode, the rest of them will be out by the end of the year, if they stick to their schedule. So, I'm hopeful. Hopeful of that.
What else?
Agents of Mayhem.
Oh, that's another big game.
And that is already in my, like, top three of E3 so far.
Yeah, really?
I was really impressed with that. It was really, really fun. I think everyone in the room. It was a big room full of people that demoed that game, and
yeah,
we were all having fun. Me and Dylan finished it, and they were like, "You can go."
What is it?
This is like a Saints Row spinoff.
Really?
Yeah, it's future Seoul, South Korea.
Okay.
And this more parodies superhero and comic stuff.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to take all those powers from Saints Row and kind of translate some of that stuff over? Or?
You don't have powers.
Okay.
You are an agent of mayhem, if you will. And you're fighting Legion, which is a group of, you know, supervillains.
Uh-huh.
But you're not a superhero. You're a team. You're a squad.
Okay, right.
And each of them is class-based. Like, we have to pick... You pick three characters. There was a roster of four here. I think that they said there would be 12. Total in the game, you pick your three, you go on your mission, you can change between them at any time, they're not all there, it's not like, you know, they're all on the battlefield, you switch between them, and there's a lot of dialogue, and the dialogue changes depending on who you're playing as.
I mean, is it strategic?
No,
like,
it's
are you
action.
Setting guys up and telling them to go certain places, or are they just kind
you're
of
the only one.
Moving on their own, more like Grand Theft Auto, sort of?
Yeah.
You remember how that was, where you switch between characters?
But see, when I say switch, you're not... The characters aren't there. Your character changes to the other character when you switch.
Like, just morphs into him?
Yes.
Why?
Who knows?
This is kind of the same sort of video game logic that put Kratos in this new God of War.
This is a game series that had Hell, I think, at one point, and aliens taking over the planet. Who knows what's going
on? You're just one fighting unit that is able to switch into each other at the same... I mean, that sounds pretty preposterous.
So was everything in Saints Row. Ever since it's Saints Row 3.
What happens to the other person?
I don't know.
They don't explain that?
No.
No. Maybe one they... asked?
No. Because it's Saints Row.
Okay, so they have it different powers and stuff?
Yeah, they have different powers. Or you just kind of switching up for energy, health, purposes? They have different classes. Like, okay. You have a close-range shotgun guy, standard...
And then you just, like, press up and you're a new guy.
Yeah. Left and right. Yeah.
Fuck. That sounds like it'll be changed.
They have other abilities, special abilities, and what I found cool is, like, you use your special ability and that charges your other, like, ultimate ability, so it incentivizes you to keep using these cool abilities. Mm. Like, the shotgun guy can lasso people and it teleports them to him.
Okay.
And then you can just
blast. Is it going to be a single-player game, or is it possibly that it's going to be cooperative? All single-player.
Single-player, as far as they were talking about. And I mean, it was hilarious. Like, the writing in this is really, really good. Mm-hmm. Which Saints Row has always had, I think, pretty good writing. Really funny, and the characters were great. There was like a character named Hollywood who was like an actor, and you saw in the it was actually he was in the reveal trailer where he like called in his stunt double and all this sort of zany Saints Row
no
stuff.
No clue. What this game
I didn't either when I went in, but it was very impressive. It was really fun.
Was it one of your games of the show?
Yeah. It was really good. You will like it when you get it. Did you like Saints Row? You like Saints Row 3?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, you'll love this. It's great. There was, like, jokes about K-pop and all this sort of stuff, Korean pop. In case you don't know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for explaining that to me, Kyle. And to our listeners.
Yeah.
I'll leave them out, but...
I was very impressed.
And then, was it all downhill from there, or...?
No. There was some more good stuff. We went to Koei Tecmo.
Oh, that's right.
Checked out Neo, which is Team Ninja's take on Dark Souls in a lot of ways. I don't know if that's the official line, but that's what it is.
It's on the box.
Yeah, it was really... it was good. I mean, it's...
But to explain that a little bit further, it is Dark Souls-esque.
Yes.
It is Team Ninja. You are a samurai type of warrior. You are fighting in, like... You are fighting Asian-type entities and demons and stuff, right?
Yeah. There were still some pretty undead-looking
okay, zombies sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
It had some weird style.
But it's like oriental.
It is oriental.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And you can... I mean, it does add a lot of stuff where, like, you can change your stance, your fighting stance, where you're attacking from above, below, or to the side. All that really alters is how much damage you do and how fast you swing, stuff like that.
You can kind of do some of that stuff in Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Just do, like, one-hand, two-hand combat.
Yeah. This, I think, had... One-handed weapons or two-handed? I don't remember.
Well, you can use anything like that in Dark Souls, but...
But it was...
Instead of having a shield, you would use the two-handed thing.
Yeah. It was another one of those games where, you know, if you get hit...
You're dead.
You're dead. Yeah. There were some weaker enemies that could pop you, but every once in a while, you'd die very, very quickly.
Was the speed... Was it a fast game?
Was it kind of like
Dark Souls, like rolling around trying to dodge and kind of strafing around people?
Yeah, that was part of it. It is still faster. Your character moves faster, and it's a bit faster.
Is it like Ninja Gaiden in the way that it's like you're jumping around? Is there jumping around?
No, jumping around. It's yeah. And I don't know that it was open world. The demo that we were trying, you actually queued up a mission. You looked at a map and you picked a mission. You loaded up at the beginning of that mission and continued from there. So it could be, you know, there's differences between it and Dark Souls. Definitely.
Yeah.
But if you want to boil it
down
game,
to, like, the basics, it's kind of like Dark Souls.
Yeah. If you like that style of game, you should definitely check it. It's Neo, N-I-O-H.
Yeah, I think they did some sort of alpha or beta test for it. One of our writers, Mike, kind of wrote something up on it. It should still be on the homepage for attackofthefanboy.com, I want those impressions. Kyle might have his own impressions at a later date.
Yep.
What else?
Same place Koei Tecmo was Attack on Titan, which I checked out because I love the anime. And this is made by the guys who make Dynasty Warriors. Mm-hmm. So it seemed like it had a good pedigree. And it lived up to it. It was pretty good. There's some really cool action there. I don't know if you've seen Attack on Titan. Well, I'm guessing you haven't. Yeah. You should check out Attack.
What? What?
Attack on Titan is a fantastic show.
Kyle? Okay.
Really check it out.
All right.
But yeah, so you... I mean, the omnidirectional stuff, if you've watched the show or read the manga, where you can 3D maneuver. You fire out these grappling hook things on both sides. It latches onto buildings or trees or whatever's nearby, and you fly around using that. It was really, really cool because it actually like found objects. It would really latch onto things, and that would determine which way you're swinging, all that sort of stuff. And you have to kill titans by attacking the back of their neck, but you can weaken them by attacking their legs or their arms. All the stuff you would imagine an Attack on Titan game. This is really kind of the game that I think fans wanted with that 3DS game that turned out terrible. So if you were excited about that, check this one out. I knew you would hate that I was even talking about an anime game. But it's very good. It's very good. It's a good show, and it's a good-looking game, too.
Yeah.
All
right. I mean, there are plenty of fans for that kind of stuff. It's just not me.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Different strokes.
But you should check out
check out the anime.
Finally.
The manga.
Because I'm going to skip. We saw some Gear VR games at the end of the day.
And you're going to skip it?
They weren't bad, but it's Gear VR. I don't know. It's just mobile games. Did you see the one where... They don't.
It was like a zombie shooter?
That's one of them.
That one wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad.
For a Gear VR game?
I'm not saying they're bad.
What was the name of that game? Let's give that one a shout out.
I can't remember what it was.
That was a good game, and the guy who was demoing it was really cool. The developer who makes that game, he was a nice, real nice guy. I don't have the name in front of me, but it is, it's like a Time Crisis or something like that. They just come at you, it's a rail shooter, but you're tapping the side of the headset to shoot and swiping it to reload.
Yep.
Drop dead.
Thank you.
From the gallery.
Yeah, Drop dead. It is a good game.
And it's zombies coming at you, different class. Some are fast, some are fat, some are regular. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hard. He told me there's going to be like 15 levels, bunch of unlockables, weapons.
You did a better hands-on preview than I did.
Yeah, I was actually paying attention.
It was the end of the day.
I hear you. No, I know. You got there and you're like, well, we got some Gear VR for you.
Yeah.
Like, you lying fucking sack of shit. You told me it was for Oculus.
Yeah, our appointment did say Oculus specifically.
He's like, how about, can I get your attention with some Oculus VR games? Well, that would get our attention. But those aren't Oculus games. Those are for Gear.
Yeah. They were good games, though. The other one was Castle Storm, which is available.
Was that in the Oculus booth?
Yeah. Which is available now non-VR, and they're adding a VR version later. It's kind of a tower defense sort of thing, where you have your castle, people are trying to storm it, and you have to defend it. You actually have control over characters and your archers and stuff like that, and you just have to keep the barbarians at bay. It was really good. It was. I'm not trying to discount it. It's just mobile games. I don't know, but that's actually on PC and it will be available on Oculus as well. So you know, if you liked Castle Storm, it was really good in VR. And finally, getting over those. We checked out Let It Die, which is the new Suda51 game. We actually sat down and talked to Suda51 himself, and an executive and a developer, and Akira Yamaoka, if I'm pronouncing that name correctly, who is the composer for Silent Hill and the composer for Let It Die. We'll have interviews. I recorded the audio, and I have to actually go back and listen to it and get some interviews written up for you guys. What, Suda51's
like no cameras?
No, we just...
So you just didn't think it would...
With the translator and all that, we didn't have the audio equipment for something like that. So, just went for audio.
Ah. So you don't want to be passing microphones all over
exactly,
the place.
Exactly, yeah.
I got you.
The game itself is really good, though.
Is it? I saw it at the Sony booth, kind of just in passing, because it's like so crowded over there.
Yep.
But what is it?
It's a Suda 51 game, so it's weird.
Weird.
It's bloody. It's gory. Mm-hmm. He actually mentioned at one point, he's like, the developers keep telling me to tone down the blood,
okay.
And I turned it up. Okay. He's like, if you played this at PAX, it is 0.5 higher in the blood department. It's like, okay, yeah, that's good. Keep doing that.
I didn't like his last big one.
Was that Killer 7? What was the last one?
I think it was like Darkness something.
I need to actually go back and play his whole category.
A lot of people loved it, and I just didn't get it. It was kind of dumb.
But that's what you get with a developer like him. Where
yeah, you either love it or hate it.
You either love it or hate it.
Suda 50 wasn't Chainsaw Lollipop or whatever?
He was Chainsaw Lollipop. Yeah.
Lollipop Chainsaw.
Yeah, Lollipop Chainsaw. This is a free-to-play
some weird
game.
Fucking games, man.
Yeah. This is a free-to-play action brawler.
Okay.
And
were they selling you microtransaction shit or what?
So we ask, like, what do you buy? And they're very adamant that it won't become pay-to-win. They know that that is a problem. And they
okay, so they've gung-ho got themselves a Suda 51 to make them a free-to-play game.
Free-to-play That's roguelike game.
Beautiful.
Where you are ascending a tower and fighting other characters, including other players, although it is asymmetrical, where their character is in the level and you fight their character, not them. Mm-hmm. You're not controlling that character. Mm-hmm. And that is a big part of the game. They said to get to the higher levels, you have to get into that stuff. You start the game essentially nude.
Fucking McLaren rolling down the street. Only in L.A.
This is L.A. You start the game in your underwear. You have to just go and beat people up and find items and gear and all that. And if you want to keep it, you have to take it back to your base. If you die, you have a certain number of continues. You can purchase more continues if you would like to continue at your current death spot.
Yeah, that's kind of like Puzzles and Dragons mechanics.
Or get sent back to your
base. Or you have to start over. Yeah, I mean, that's how they make money.
Yeah. But it was really fun. I mean,
that's cool.
You
and that's what? That's on consoles?
It's PS4 only. Okay. It is not available yet. It will come
it's
out
It's
going to
probably
this
be
year.
Free to play without PlayStation Plus and all that. It's going to be like Warframe and all that crap.
I didn't ask about PS Plus.
I'm sure it is. Probably the same deal.
Yep.
And that was it for you?
Yeah, that was it.
All right. Tomorrow, we got a lot of stuff going on.
You'll be gone, though.
I will be gone. We'll be able to record it. I know. I don't know. When I get situated, we'll get a podcast up, probably, back on normal podcasting schedule. Tuesday, Wednesday, can look out for that. That'll be our final impressions for E3.
And that will be the big one for me.
Yeah, that'll be the big one for both of us, really, because I'm probably going to take a big old dump on Halo Wars. Big old shit. Because that game, I don't think it's gotten a great response. I would like to read a short.
Oh, we're doing the dramatic reading?
The dramatic reading of a Halo Wars fan's reaction to this game.
And this is the demo that is available now. You can play this if you are listening.
It's garbage.
This is the dramatic reading, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. 3 exclamation points. It feels like they just started making this 2 weeks ago. What the fuck is this shitty beta? Exclamation point. It's a fucking joke. Exclamation point. Controls are like shit. Looks like shit. If it had a scent, it would smell like shit too. Exclamation point. I hope they get a handle on this game or it's going to be a major disappointment. Exclamation point. If this game doesn't pan out, I'm jumping ship to Sony. Exclamation point. Get your shit together and make something special. Do I have to keep saying it? Exclamation point. I was so excited for this game, and now they've ruined it for me by giving me a taste of shit. Exclamation point. So I'm supposed to get up for this game in anticipation of a bigger pot of shit to come? That should have been a question mark, but it's still an exclamation point. A team of crackheads could have made a better beta. Please show this to the developers.
Which you did not do.
Thankfully, I haven't met him yet.
You met him at the Microsoft thing.
I did. I didn't want to get kicked out.
You can
out
show him that tomorrow because I won't be there. Right. If you showed him that there, like, I would have walked away.
Yeah, I don't know you. That's what you said. Now, that you know, that is kind of the sentiment. I mean, I don't have that sentiment. That's not my sentiment. That is someone's sentiment. I won't name any names, but a Halo Wars fan.
Yeah.
A fan's reaction to the new beta after waiting for that game for a long time.
So you'll be getting another hands-on taste of that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Maybe you can ask him. Just like, this plays a little rough.
Doesn't...
What's going on?
I think it's hard. I think it's hard for, like, when you wait that long, the expectation is so high.
Yeah.
For it to be what it was, and when it's not that, you're disappointed. Yeah. Mirror's Edge. That's what happened to me, personally. You know, I could see this person being disappointed by it just because of waiting for it for so long and then it being so much different. And it is different. Even small changes make it feel significantly different. Yeah. Playing a game for, you know...
Years and years.
It's just the same thing. Like Diablo 2 players, when they jump... They play that game for a decade, and then they play Diablo 3. They hated it.
Yeah.
But new players might like it. So it's hard.
I hadn't played Halo Wars in a while, and I felt that it was pretty rough.
Okay.
I did. I did.
All right. Well, there you go.
So.
There you go. Kyle has just made a judgment.
It was jank.
It was jank. Pure jank. Kyle has looked up that word before we came to E3. He's like, how can I best describe
games?
I gotta
work this in.
I've been hearing this word jank around a lot. I gotta figure out what it means and how to work it in to every fucking podcast.
So is that it?
No, we've got a lot of stuff.
For day two.
I know, for day two, that's it. We're definitely done with day two. We're just kind of... Day three will be... I see Halo Wars 2. I see PlayStation VR stuff. I see some Turtle Beach headsets. And I see some Minecraft-type shit.
Yep.
You are going to see some virtual reality stuff. The Legend of Zelda.
Do I have virtual reality?
Oh, yeah. You have that appointment with the creator of Myst game or whatever.
Yeah. And Nintendo.
And
if
Nintendo.
We didn't say that already.
Nintendo. Hands-on with Zelda. Right? If you get there and they don't give you a hands-on, I'd be like, fuck you.
Here's our booth tour.
Kick her right
in
the cunt.
We're only showing Zelda. That was our tour. Thank you.
Yes, you get to come inside the booth.
Oh, God.
Without a ticket.
That'd be enough. We'd be okay with that.
Yeah. I'm going to have to edit that kick her in the cunt comment out.
When did you say that?
I said it. Just kick her right in the cunt. I'll say it three times. Maybe our fans will enjoy it. I know Stephen Hillier will, because it was just an opinion and a joke, but he may take that to heart.
He
may even send a strongly worded letter to Nintendo. Who knows how far he'll go. But you can not find any of the things we talked about today on attackofthefanboy.com. None of those impressions are up on the site yet.
We're doing this first.
Yeah, we're doing a podcast preview first to get it out there. And then we'll probably elaborate on some of this stuff later as E3 unwinds and we get home and back to a place that's a little bit easier to do that kind of stuff. And then we'll have another podcast next week, but this will probably be the last of our E3 podcasts, right?
Well, I mean, that'll be our E3 wrap-up.
Yeah, that'll be next week sometime. So... If you have been following these, apologize for the shorty yesterday. That was, or today.
This morning.
That this morning.
Yeah.
Because that was, we just wanted to get one out because of the error in the system. Kind of sucked. We didn't have any content to fill that, but if you have been following them, thanks a lot. And you can look forward to our E3 wrap-up next week on our regularly scheduled time, which is going to be Wednesday release, Tuesday record. For Kyle, I'm William, and you can check out our other E3 content on attackofthefanboy.com. We've got some videos up on our YouTube channel, some exclusive interviews. Right now, I think it's just Titanfall, but we've got some other ones coming, some impressions for Resident Evil.
Yep.
And what?
We also have a Dawn of War interview.
Yeah.
We have a FIFA interview that I brought up before.
That's right.
Yeah. That may be it so far. We'll probably get more.
And we're going to get a Enuma. Is that how you say his name? Enuma?
I'm going to interview AG Enuma?
Yeah.
No.
Go for it, man.
If it was
offered, I'm here for an interview. That's what you say when you walk in there. Where is he?
Where's Miyamoto?
Bring in Miyamoto and Aonuma and Reggie. Sit them all down. Pass one microphone.
Do you want the blue microphone?
You guys get close together. Microphone. Which one do you like? All right. That'll do it for Attack of the Fanboy podcast number 37. Check our stuff out on attackofthefanboy.com and YouTube. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.